Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of the Community Love Power Show. This is Yah Elohim, and we're so glad that you're here with us this evening, either live or in the archives. We have a wonderful program for you this evening. We're going to continue our conversation about Zika, and we're going to look at who tends to profit off of Zika. And we're also going to, of course, talk about solutions. We're not here to belabor the problem. We are here to provide viable solutions to our community because this is the Community Love Power, and it's all about love. I'm going to open up the line for our co-host, Dr. Jata. Welcome, Dr. Jata.
Greetings.
Yes, I am so glad that you're here this evening. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to share with the community. I wanted to launch right in because, you know, it's only a 30-minute program and we are full of information this evening. And as always, if the program ends exactly at 7 o'clock. However, if you want to hear it in its entirety, in case we go over by a few minutes, you can go to our show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing, and you can get the entirety of the program. The one we did last week was actually 44 minutes long, even though it only streamed for 30. So you can go to our show page and get the first part of our conversation about Zika. This program is Dimensional. This program is sponsored, I should say, by Dimensional Healing, which was founded by Ma'a of the Fig Tree and Yah Elohim in 2006. So we're 10 years strong, and we're so glad that you're here with us. So, Dr. Jata, first and foremost, I wanted us to talk about the Living Foods classes coming up in October 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. And we wanted to share with the community some of the things that would be happening during the class and also information about how to get in touch and get further information, registration, prices, et cetera. So what is the Living Foods class about? Certification, by the way, certification class.
Living Foods, the title and the name should really sum it up. I don't know if we're aware that most things we eat that's really been killed by heat or by the combinations that we combine things, one thing offsets another. So the Living Foods class gives us hands-on knowledge as to how to make living foods. The first class is about sprouting and juicing. The blood of the plant is similar to the blood of the human being. So when we sprout and juice, we're eating living things that's akin to our body chemistry. The second class deals with the theory of food, which means we deal from the ancient to the modern knowledge. The third class is very, very poignant today because we deal with fermentation and dehydration. Fermentation, as we know, another name for ferment is probiotics, good flora in the body. And this could be, I'd like to really touch base on this today as to one of the solutions that we could do for the Zika. The last class is about tonic herb soups and salads, seaweed salads, and a summary. Somebody would leave with hands-on knowledge of the class. Questions will be answered. We have a good fraternity now of people that's taken the class, and we keep in touch. We have a potluck once in a while when we get together. But the idea is somebody will have practical knowledge and theoretical knowledge. It's a wonderful opportunity to learn hands-on in a good environment. The information about the class can be obtained on our website. We do start, I think, the first week in October and every Saturday hence. So tune into to the website and you can get all the information you need. Thank you.
And just for your information, that and also our flyer. So if you're on our mailing list, you would have received in your email inbox a flyer about the program, tonight's program. And then if you scroll down, you'll see information about the class where you can register right from there. Our website is the People's Clinic, the number 4TOM.com. That's the People's Clinic, 4TOM.com. Dr. Jatta, phone number for you, please.
786-222-222-9526. 786-222-9526.
Okay, so we really look forward to seeing you. And also there's an online option for the class, so you don't have to physically be present. So contact us and we can provide you more information on that. So we want to go right into our conversation, to continue our conversation about Zika. And to review some of what we talked about last week, we looked at the prevalence of Zika on the planet, where it's most popular, why. We looked at some different reasons why it may exist in those particular pockets, and the incidence of microcephaly. So we looked at the connection of microcephaly and Zika worldwide, and you want to check our show page to come to hear our conclusions or the details. But we raise a lot of questions because we're not here to tell you what to think. We just provide additional information for you to draw your own conclusions. So we're going to continue that conversation this evening, and I'm going to start with the World Health Organization. By the way, if you go to our chat, I've already placed in our chat room for this program the links for the information that I'm presenting here this evening. So go to our show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing. And in order to access the chat room, you actually do have to create an account, log in, and then you can get into the chat room. So, but let's talk about the World Health Organization. What their position is that the Zika reveals an extreme consequence of the failure to provide universal access to sexual and family planning services. So let's critically examine that for a moment, Dr. Jatta. This is the head of the WHO. Her name is Margaret Chang, and she says that Zika is revealing an extreme consequence of the failure to provide universal access to sexual and family planning services. And she goes further to say that Dr. Chan went further to say that Latin America and the Caribbean, which have been hit hard by Zika, have the highest proportion of unintended pregnancies in the world. So my question is, then why is this virus arising that's affecting the pregnancies and outcome in the areas that the WHO is clearly saying there's too many people being born? That's my question to you, Dr. Jatta. Any opinion on that?
Wow. That's a showstopper to me. I just can't fathom that. What's your take on that?
Well, as
I
said,
I'm really lost with that. I'm lost.
And so you can come into our chat room or call in. The number is 516-387-1741, and give us your opinion. I think it's the one to raise your hand to say you want to say something. But she's saying here that Zika is an extreme consequence of the failure to provide universal access to sexual and family planning services in Latin America and the Caribbean.
Wow.
So, and then she go, and then, you know, on and on. I could talk about this for long, but we have a time issue, so I'm not going to linger on that. But that demonstrates some of the mindset behind the prevalence of Zika. And the what we're talking about this evening specifically is who profits. Who profits? And we're getting there. Continue to listen. So when we look at the prevalence of vector-borne illnesses, you know, we can look at specifically the ones at Oxitec, because Oxitec is our main focus for this evening. Oxitec.com is the UK company that has engineered GMO Aedes aegypti mosquitoes to eradicate Zika. So they have done trials in different parts of the world, including the Florida Keys, and now the program basically is going forward, full steam ahead. So Oxitec has patented the mosquito, and they have several, actually, if you go to their site, I'd love to spend more time, because they have actually several different life forms that they have patented. And in the mosquito, they have inserted a fluorescent gene so that they can identify their mosquitoes in the wild. So I wanted to share a little bit of the CEO of Oxitec, Hayden. Can't think of his first name at the moment. As he talks and brings his perspective to bear on the mosquitoes that have been GMO and the solution and why it's better. Let's listen critically and talk about it when we return. I'm not going to play the whole thing, by the way.
Well, one British biotech firm is using its expertise to contain the disease and is turning to genetic modification. Oxitec is mating sterile male mosquitoes with virus-carrying females, and early results are promising. I spoke to the CEO, Hayden Parry, about the possibilities and pitfalls of his approach.
It works in the area in which you work, so it's very controlled, and it's extraordinarily effective. So in all our trials, we've reduced the population by over 90% in a very short space of time.
Now, these trials have predominantly been in Brazil. So what are some of the initial results that you're seeing so far?
Well, what we've shown in Brazil is that within a six-month period, we can reduce the population of mosquitoes, this particular one that spreads dengue, chikungunya, and Zika, by over 90% within 6 months. And that's a very consistent result to get across all the trials we've done.
Now, one of the things people are concerned about is the population coming back again, even with it being culled over this length of time. So what's the longer-term solution?
Well, the longer-term solution is to keep the mosquito population under control, so to get it down from a very high level and then to keep it low. So with our solution, you can do both things, actually. You can reduce the population down to a very low trace level, and then just by releasing a small number of males over a period of time, if any females come back into the area, then they'll be mated and you won't have that upswing in numbers. So this is a long-term solution.
Now, in terms of the other sorts of research that having trials like this could take on, where else could we see this leading?
Well, this could be used in really very large-scale implementations. You could see this approach being used in very large cities to control mosquito populations. The trouble is now, what people use is chemicals, which are very ineffective, hence the problems we have today. And these chemicals are used on a very frequent basis among cities all over the world. So with our technology, using a biological approach, we could have similar sort of style, which is let's control the mosquito population, but we'd be a lot more effective.
And do you think it's possible that using this technique to wipe out all mosquito-borne illnesses?
I think that's a far stretch. I think what we would say is that you can certainly, with our approach, protect a city, protect a large area, protect a town from the mosquito that spreads dengue, chikungunya, and Zika.
Sounds wonderful. I mean, it absolutely sounds fantastic. You get rid of the pesky mosquitoes. You're not using chemicals to do it. The mosquitoes die out. Is there anything wrong with that picture to say wrong, or are there any caveats in that picture from your critical analysis?
Even if that's correct, and that can work, which I haven't really done the research there, that's really not going to be dealing with the blanket of the population. As he says, that would be a containing issue for a town or a village or a smaller area. My question is that dengue and malaria and other mosquito-borne ailments have been around since time immemorial. It does have a lot of fatalities, we know. However, some people seem to be have a lot of immunity to that. Maybe another part of the puzzle, another leg of the stool could be building the immune system of the body that would help to correct the imbalance of the bad bacteria or the bad viral activity that we do have. I would also go to say that the superbug issue we have now, where it's prevalent, no antibiotics or any type of drugs we have can take care of certain bugs or viruses or bacteria, comes from the human being itself. One of the prominent thing is that the emerging nations we have of Brazil, South Africa, China, India, and their demand for beef has really rocketed the antibiotic use in the animals, in which the human being then consume the animal and have the array of antibiotics within ourselves. So our immune system breaks down. And not only that, we then transpose these antibacterial agents in our immediate vicinity. I don't know what that's going to cause, what problems that will cause us to change the human biome. So one solution that I think that we could really do ourselves is to build the immune system, because I've traveled abroad. I've gone abroad, and many people that I know have gone abroad, and they've taken certain things to build the immune. I've even worked in Africa with mosquitoes and with malaria, and there are many, many herbal remedies that can add to the strength of the immune system that could help to have more of a resistance for this. So this is one part of the solution that I think that we could take into our own hands, is to try to build the immune system. I don't know, what do you think about that?
That's actually quite true, and looking through the notes for the program, it takes us back to the conversation we were having about the herb wormwood, because when I looked in the literature today to find information for the program, that is the herb of choice for all these mosquito-borne illnesses, including malaria. And it appears that Chinese herbal remedy, which is wormwood, and other countries have used successfully that herb to curb infections, especially with mosquitoes as the vector. So it looks as if that conversation that we were having about that herb, wormwood, they have two names for it. One is Artemisia, and then it's also called artesanate, which it looks like the Chinese have manufactured a standardized version of wormwood. So it's a very helpful herbal remedy. We cannot diagnose or prescribe, but based on our information of our personal use of these herbs, we find them to be very effective as food. So, continuing to have the conversation about solutions, we are about 10 minutes before we're done. We want to just continue having that. So we know building up the immune system. What in from traditional Oriental medicine perspective would be the how we would describe Zika or these malaria-borne, mosquito-borne viruses? What does it do? Is it damp? Is it warm? Is it wet? Is it dry? What happens with the body when these type of conditions arise? Let's just look at one. Let's look at Zika. I don't know if he heard me. Let's find out. Hold on one moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back one of R&B's golden voices, Jill Scott.
Okay, we're back here live again with Dr. Jatta. I was asking from a traditional Oriental medicine perspective, how would we view something such as Zika in terms of the dampness and the heat, et cetera? What organs would be affected from the traditional Oriental medicine perspective?
This would be viewed as a blood-borne disease, and there are many levels of blood-borne diseases. When it enters the body, it can go through different stages in the blood, and in doing this, you would have different effects of heat, toxic heat, etc. The herbs that you mentioned before would be herbs that would the wormwood and herbs like that would somehow bring back some type of homeostasis in the body by removing the heat, and in that case, then the body's immune itself now would be able to be strong enough to have the balance that would subdue the actual pathogen. So that's how we would look at it. It wouldn't be a riot effect where everything goes there and kills the actual organism. The body itself would be in a balanced state that would have the proper oxygenation of the body that would counteract the actual pathogen.
Okay, so what you're saying is that with a strengthened immune system, which actually brings up the fact that about 80% of people who contract any of these three, Aedes, aegypti-borne viruses, most have no symptoms. Chikungunya tends to produce more symptoms. But especially with the other two, most people don't actually know they have it. So then what would make a certain percentage of the population? And why the microcephaly? We looked at some other reasons for that last week, so you want to check our show page and listen to that at your leisure. But why pregnant women? Why would this virus, it has not traditionally been known to affect unborn babies? It's been tracked since the 40s. And it's, you know, there was a outbreak in Micronesia where they were also linking microcephaly. But why is it that it exists around the world and the microcephaly is only an isolated location?
That's a million-dollar question we have to look at. There must be environmental factors involved in these areas that people have the microcephaly. Must be other factors that would contribute to developing that type of condition. It's not a blanket effect, so there has to be some research done on that. What's the toxic? Go ahead.
I actually don't think that there's going to be much research on that because they've now got in place the means to eradicate. Because in addition to that, Oxitec, to answer the question directly from our marketing flyer, who profits? Oxitec profits. Okay, you can go to their website and get a plethora of information about their products, especially these GMO insects. So if you look at the executive staff of Oxitec, read their bios, you will find that the great majority of them came from Syngenta. If you look at Syngenta's website, you will see that their mission is basically the domination of the world food supply. So it's food, feed, and drugs that these companies tend to be, multifaceted, these multinationals. So the people that are putting forth the agenda for Oxitec are of the same community as Syngenta, who is similar to Monsanto in the terms of the controlling of the seeds, the patenting of the seeds, and they have a special focus on the developing nations of the world. Syngenta.com, S-Y-N like Nancy, G-E-N-T-A.com. You can find their agenda. It's on their website. It's pretty much in place, so it's not like a conspiracy theory or something they're trying to hide or obscure. So check it out at your leisure. And you were saying, Dr. Johnson?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, that's what I wanted to be sure that we covered, who profits. The people are not profiting. There is a lot of information on our show page and on our marketing email, much more about the Zika, dengue, et cetera, that we could present in this short 30-minute program. So we encourage you to go there, or if you want to have a further conversation, you can always email us, dimensionalhealing8513@gmail.com, and we would love to have a conversation. What we want to do now is talk just a little bit about the autumn. This is the autumn equinox. And we know from a traditional oriental medicine perspective that there are certain organs that we should be focusing on nourishing for this part of the year. What are those, Dr. Johnson?
They would be the lung and the colon. The autumn is considered the elements metal arises at this particular time, and the corresponding organs that would relate to that would be the lung and the colon. The lung would be the female, the solid organ, and the colon would be the bowel or the empty organ. The two complement each other, as everything in life. There's no opposition in life. It's complementary opposites. So this is the time when we could have nutrition that would benefit both of these organs. But initially, everything should be started with some type of cleansing. We can clean the organs and we can build them up. And this way, that particular element will be strong to give birth to the next cycle, which will be the winter time, which will be the kidney and the bladder. Because in traditional medicine, you have a mother that will give birth to another element. So So therefore, if we strengthen these elements now, these organs now, the lung and the colon, our winter period would be stronger because we would have nourished the mother, which would give rise to the kidney and the bladder in the wintertime.
Okay, I just wanted to let the listeners know that the program is no longer streaming, but if you're on the phone or on the chat, you'll be able to hang in with us until the end, and you can also catch the full program on our show page, blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing. But this is actually the top of the hour and the end of the program. I just wanted to complete that thought. So that's what those topics are what we'll be launching into on our Sunday program and next week Wednesday. So we air every Sunday and Wednesday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. Same phone number, same website, same everything. If you're not on our email list, please be sure to email us or call Dr. Jatta. Make sure that you're receiving the email. Dr. Jatta, your phone number and your heartfelt message as we sign off for the evening.
The number is 786-222-9526. 786-222-9526. Any journey that we're on, we have to know ourselves to really finish the journey. To know yourself is to know the organs in your body, how to treasure and care for them, and have a system in your life in the yearly cycle that you could pay attention to some of these and give them some tonification. So let's gather knowledge, let's be aware of ourselves, and I think that way we would appeal to our higher self. Thank you all.
Thank you so much for taking time to share the evening with us. As you move forward, may you all have positive experience, and remember, it's really all about the love. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday at 6:30 p.m., If you're not available, check our archive and join us at your earliest convenience. We love you to life. This is Yat Elohim signing off with a little bit of Jill Scott Golden live in front of the President Obama and his wife in 2014.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back one of R&B's golden voices, Jill Scott.